Well, it is great to be here and to praise the Lord together. He is so good, isn't he? And he works in so many marvelous, wonderful ways in our life. It's just wonderful. And I think what we're looking at today is something that we will find is true again. We're looking at God's grand purposes through John 15, 1 through 6. And especially, I want to just start by reflecting, I am so excited about this text. I know you, like me, have read this many times. I am so excited. I think of sometimes, you know, we've had 8 children, and when we ever pack, you know, so how many, you're trying to get everything in, and so sometimes you get a suitcase, and sometimes a child or me or someone has put too much stuff in it, and at the last minute, you're trying to close it, and everything's, you know, you just put this side in, and it pushes out that side. This is like the sermon to me, because there's so much to say, and I can't take it all. I can't take it all. I can't reflect on all of it. But hopefully, we'll touch upon some parts that you'll be able, with me, to be able to relish and treasure what the Lord has for us through this time. So if you can, wherever you are, you can just read. But let me lead you in John 15. We're just going to look at the first 6 verses. Yes, it does go on, and it does extend with a powerful climax later on. But we won't get that far. But we already have too much here. And I want you to think about it, because this is the question behind it all. What is God doing in our lives? I see it, right? He is so excited about what he's doing that he is tending us like a garden, like a vineyard, making sure every one of us is properly supported, properly functioned, and bearing fruit for his glory. It's just wonderful. Let me read this for us here. I am the true vine, Jesus is speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from you cannot do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let me pray. Father, we come before you with this word, your word, come teach us. We need your word so much, Lord, that all the more we might be that thriving garden, those branches that are bearing fruit, to bring glory to your name. Teach us and bless us in this time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we think about this, I'm going to be starting by this first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. It will help for us to separate a little bit here the two portions that I will be focusing on and introduce in a minute. But again, you know, we're first of all looking at the true vine, which is Jesus himself, and then the Father. And he's the vine dresser. You might never have used that word before. I don't use it often except when I'm speaking from this. But what we do find is that he's the gardener taking care of that. So there's two special works of God in his people in verses 1 to 3, verse 6. And then we will also look at two keys for abundant Christian life in verses 4 and 5. We'll spend most of our time on the first section, less time on the second. So I'm going to kind of put them over side by side here, and you can just see them one by one here. Again, two special works, and that's because there's two kinds of people in his church as the Lord looks at that, as he goes and takes a walk, a step into his garden, he sees, he's looking for two things. Do you know what they are? We'll look right now as we go on. So we're going to start by looking, we looked at verse 1, but go on to 2 and 3 here. Do you notice what he first is talking about? It's very interesting here that he's talking about the branches that are in him. He says, in me, every branch in me. And that will be the general inclusion of all believers. And he affirms that by verse 3, you are already clean. Now, this is a little awkwardly placed for us here, unless you're reading through the Gospel of John. Because in the Gospel of John, you'll remember that Jesus had just before this message to his disciples, had celebrated Passover, his last Passover on earth, and he was going to the cross. And Judas had already left, and this is John 13, and then he says, you are all clean, right? Except one of you, and that was referring to Judas, who would betray him. So again, he's using this word clean here, talking about those that belong to him, those who are in him. But there's two kinds of branches. And the first, it says it does not bear fruit. You see that, right? He does not bear fruit. And the second is one that does bear fruit. And so those are the two kinds of Christians that he's looking at here. And now the first part is what I want to, it's not too lined up too well here. But it does says he lifts up or takes away. It's hidden by the text here, but as we look at this text on the right, we will see in the third line, he lifts up every branch, okay? Now, he does that. In most English versions, you'll see it says takes away. And I'm going to give you three reasons why I like the translation, lift up. This is not just my preference. For this word, and it's used 101 times in the New Testament, the Greek word, aero, just like the word air. You just think of air and a balloon going up or something, but it's kind of lifting up. So this is what the word means, and I think 26 times in the Gospel of John, and it's used three ways. One, it lifts up, just like he told the lame man to lift up your mattress there. It means to bear, to kind of hold and support. And thirdly, it means to take away. Now, in this context, to me, because he's talking about Christians here, those who are in me, I really find that lifts up makes it a lot more sense here, a lot more sense. And when he's talking about those who are bearing fruit, he says he prunes it so that it might bear more fruit. So we have the branches that don't bear fruit and those who do bear fruit. And then he takes a special action for them. Now, just pause a second. In your life, what do you think? Are you one who bears fruit or not bearing fruit? I know it gets right to the question, and that's what makes this passage so fantastic. It is like a parable, but he doesn't say it's a parable. He says, you know, the branch is like the Christian. The vine is Jesus. The vine dresser, the gardener, is the Father in heaven. What's the fruit? What do you think the fruit is? It can be a lot of things. And this is what's kind of exciting. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But just generally speaking, it's those good works that God has destined us to do. He's called us to care for others, love others, being kind-hearted, gentle, lots of those things. We could think about the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit too. And it all works. It all works so much. And so what we find here, again, two types of people and different ways the Lord works in them. Now, it's the second reason I really believe this does not talk about takes away. That translation is not good. It really refers to one that lifts up. It's because what it means. These are in me, he says. And that means like in Christ. If you're reading the epistles, again and again, it talks about in Christ, in him. In the book of Ephesians, just so many times it repeats that phrase. And you can look it up. But being in Christ means you're his. And once you're his, you're forever his. And he has not, even though let's say you sin, right? And you're not bearing fruit. He doesn't just toss you away. No. He works with you. And this is what we find actually at the end of the Gospel of John. We find all the disciples, what? Left Jesus. And then after his resurrection, he had to go out and find them. Now, the time when Jesus needed his disciples the most, they left him and disappointed him. And yet we see Jesus going out there, reaching out to them. This is an example of branches that are not bearing fruit, patience, support, love. You know, just when you need your husband or wife, maybe they don't. But he's there. And this is what I find, that there's two ways, and these are the branches that he tenderly works with. So think about it. I've actually planted grapes in my former house in the yard. They're not in the house, but in the yard. And the vine started growing. But I found that if you just don't look a few days, because the branches just grow wild, some of them are down on the ground. And they're down on the ground. They get mud on them because it rains. They're dirty. Maybe my kids are stepping on them or whatever. They're not going to bear fruit down on the ground. You have to lift them up. You got to lift them up and clean them off, you know, clean the mud. And so I can just see the vine dresser walking in and starting to look for those branches. Look at that, it's on the ground. Wow, I need to pick that up. I need to clean it off and then tie it up on, you know, on the support. The tentacles, you know, are not somehow tying around, and so it needs to do that. Sometimes believers are like that, aren't they? We need that extra support. We're just not where the Lord really wants us to be. And that becomes a problem. It becomes a big problem in our life. And so let me just reflect here before I go on and describe this group of believers a little more. I want to share another reason why people use this phrase, take away. So often when they're reading verse 2, they will look at verse 6 and connect them, because verse 6 also has this phrase, away. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. And so they just kind of put them together. But the Greek word is very different. It's not the same. It's just that they're making connections. I think that's the reason they keep doing this. And so would label those, even though they were in Christ, the branches in verse 2, they kind of connect them to verse 6, where he takes them. They're not abiding in him. They're very different, right? The first ones were abiding in him. These do not. And they're thrown away as a branch. And they're burnt. They're dried, and they burn them up. Which is, of course, a description of those who are not in Christ. And it can describe those who maybe have come to church for a while. Hey, you know, I'm in college now. I don't need to go by my parents, or I you know, pastor's not around. I think I'm just going to stop going to church. And it becomes a time when you start estranging yourself, not only to the truth, but you're kind of isolating yourself and fixing your heart on something else. It's what's happening to actually many people today. With this virus going around, with the problems that people are facing, they get caught and they just get thrown around and they leave Christ. I hope you're not one. He gives special instruction to abide. We'll look at that later. But the point is, where is the life? Can you just take a branch that's broken off, that's no longer abiding, and you just pick it up, And you clean it, and then you start maybe spray painting it with green paint. And then you put it up on the with the other branches. And you hope it will bear fruit, will it? No. You all know. It's going to just dry up. It's not going to look like the other branches because it doesn't abide. The power of the branch, the reason it can bear fruit and grow, is because it abides in the vine. And Jesus said, he's the vine. If you leave Christ, you leave life itself. In Christ is life. And he's demonstrated this through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through the Spirit of God, he lives in his people today. So let me describe a little bit more of this group. So the in me, being in Christ, guarantees a special work of the Lord. It's his commitment. It's the gardener who looks, maybe every day, takes a walk along his people. How are you doing today? You know, what's up? Are you bearing fruit? This is what he's looking at, right? That's what he said. He's looking. This one doesn't bear fruit. This one is. And so he's thinking about, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to care for this and support it? And that's when he comes tenderly by in our lives and lifts up us. Off, out of the mud, off the ground, supports us. I've recently gone by a vineyard, and you see all the branches up supported very nicely, right? Sometimes they're even wrapped around even more, so they won't leave. And this is what I find the Father does for us. I want to think about what that means for us practically. And I just list some things here. Who is it that isn't bearing fruit? Now, I ask you, are you? You know, do you think about that? And that's how the Father's looking at you. Are you troubled? Confused? Confused, you know, to the point where I don't know how to pray. I'm just here, you know. I don't want to be here. Or you feel helpless, unloved, unneeded, caught in sin. Or maybe not caught in sin, but, you know, no one catches you, but you are in sin. Or just stressed out. I know that's a big word that's used often now, stressed out. But the point is, all of these things kind of point us to ourselves, where we begin to focus on our own lives. You can't bear fruit that glorifies God and helps others that way, because we become self-focused, often very connected with our flesh, our self. And we're so paying such a close attention to our own needs that we don't look over there. We just want someone to help me. We want someone to listen to me. But you're not there to listen to others. No, you're just so focused on yourself. Well, how does the Father lift you up in these cases? What does it take? What kind of action would he take as the divine sovereign God to manipulate everything in the world to help you grow? And that's what he's doing. And that's why, if you ever fall in a situation like this, and it's not so much fault, sometimes we neglect what we do, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray, Lord, for example, you're troubled. I'm so troubled at my work, my marriage, whatever it might be. I'm so troubled. I don't know what to do, but go back to this verse. I need you to lift me up. I can't do it on my own. I need you to do it. And then when you pray that way, I want you to look around that day. I want you to pay special attention maybe to the Word of God. I want you to pay attention to someone that might text you something, a verse that someone might give you, even though he's done it every day or whatever. Pay attention, because you just ask the one who cares for you, who will be committed to lifting you up. You know what God's will is. And he's going to be using the circumstances, the Word of God, his own power, his special ways of working in this world, strangers even, to build and help you up. It's very comforting, I tell you. Very, very comforting. Because it's these times we don't know what to do. We've messed it up. And we're not bearing fruit. And we know something's wrong. We feel barren inside, don't we? And you might hear someone say, oh, yeah, you should be bearing the fruits of the Spirit. But you don't feel anything like that. You see the difference, right? And that you know your Father is actually every day walking through the garden looking for that branch that fell and is just willing to work with you. But it helps for us to look to him to be able to help us. I do want to point out one more verse here that I think for me confirms that we should not use a translation takes away and, you know, just rip that branch out. Because if it was, I think we all would be ripped out. I don't know. Probably. I know I would have been. He's no good. He's not bearing fruit. You know, I know sometimes maybe your Father here on earth has this expectation, can't get around your minor faults, right? And you never meet up to the expectation. Well, your Father in heaven's not like that. He knows of your weakness. And that's why there's this special area where even if you're not bearing fruit, he's there to help you to grow, develop, to face those things with you. So in 1 Corinthians 3:15, the last, my defense here, because all the versions are using takeaway, so I feel like I have to defend it here. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So notice here, he's described in 1 Corinthians 3, the Christian who is not bearing fruit. His work, in this case, is lined up with his fruit, and it's not bearing fruit. He's empty. But notice that there's still this person who will yet be saved, even though as through fire. In other words, he's going to go and he's messing up this life. The Lord's there to help him, but I guess he insists no. But the point is, he himself yet will be saved. So it's not just because you are not bearing fruit, he will just discard you. He will work with you through life. I know at some cases he says, I will judge that person because of his insolent sin, that Christian, that's in me. And he dies early in life. He uses that example in 1 Corinthians. So we have these situations. But for us, I would just encourage you to grow. Look to the Father and look how he works in our life. So there's two kinds of branches, right? So the first one is what? He doesn't bear fruit. And the other one, when he's walking through the garden, he's looking for the one that bear fruit. And that's what we would like, right? Do you like people to praise you? Oh, you did such a good job. Of course, you know, it's what the parents always are waiting for, you know, for the kids to say thank you or something. And it never happens, you know, at least maybe 40 years later, you know. But he doesn't do that here. Now, I think he's very appreciative that you and I are bearing fruit, okay? But it's interesting. He says his goal here is to bear fruit. This is the motivation of the gardener. He wants us to maximize the purpose for which he's designed us. Now, this gets, again, that excited part about my mind, you know. Well, what does he want for my life? What does he want for your life? And I'm just thinking about other brothers and sisters or my children or some of you know, that know the Lord. Wow, God is working something great in that person. We don't yet know the potential. I don't know the potential myself. But the point is, it's not what I can do. It's not what I wish. It's what bears fruit. It has to come under that category. But notice, it necessitates pruning. There's that sense that he's going to come around, cut the branches, even though it's bearing fruit, so it can bear more fruit, much fruit. This is the part that's very hard for us. It's hard for me, okay? I know there's been times I've been pruned, and I don't like it. I have a hard time going around pruning plants. I really do. I've got an apple tree. You cut it off, but you cut off, and otherwise that branch might bear more fruit, you know, and you're cutting it off. It's not going to bear any fruit. You have to have a bigger mind in purpose in mind to be able to carry out this purpose. You have to have the final design. Otherwise, you're not going to really be doing any pruning. But it does show us and remind us that the Father in heaven is looking as us, as his workers, to be able to bear fruit for his glory. This is what he values us, and he wants to do more through our lives. And I remember there's one time in my life, I don't have much time to go into it, but it was a good time in my life. And then I had to read the Experiencing God. I was doing the workbook. I was leading a congregation through it. And so I was going through it as a pastor. And he asked the question, well, can you bear more fruit? And I said, I'm already happy. You know, the ministry's good. You know, no problem. But he kept saying, well, don't you believe he could do more? Finally, he convicted me. I said, well, of course you can do more. And I think that's the spirit behind it. It's that our Father who really cares for us has so designed our life, can work in our life. He steps into our life more than we want. The pruning means cutting away, right? It means taking away some parts of our life that we feel comfortable with. We're used to it. My wife says, I don't like change. But our lives are filled with change, you know. But okay, you don't like change, but change you have, you know. God is pruning away. But you have to remember his purpose. If you just look at the action, what you lose, you're going to miss it, right? look at, you know, what happened to my life? Okay, yeah, I understand that. I've been through that. But look at what he's doing in faith. And this is where, if you don't have faith to step into this, if you don't understand what he's doing, you'll miss it. And you'll just go around with these old dead branches. They're still cut off. You know, the change still came, and you're just walking around, meandering, oh boy, isn't this life bad? And so you become even one that doesn't bear fruit. But what he really wants is us to take our faith and say, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't look successful anymore. Maybe I lost my job, right? What's happening to my life? But in faith, you take that step forward. God, my life is yours. However you want to bear fruit in my life, you do it for your glory. You see, in that case, it's in faith. We know what our Father's will is. That's why it happened. He doesn't let these things happen to us by accident. Yeah, sometimes our sin, we make it happen. But that's different. When we're bearing fruit and something like this, drastic, hard, hits our life, you can be sure God has a greater purpose for our lives. Now, I just want to go on a little bit and talk about the two keys for abundant Christian living found in verses 4 and 5. Let me read them again for us so they're fresh in our mind. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, there are two keys here. I hope you can see it. The red one is abiding. The green one is bearing fruit, much fruit in this case. And that's what his hope is for us. If you think God just wants people to come to church, fill a pew, fill a chair, just to get things done, you're missing the whole thing about Christian life. Really are. You're missing it. The first part, he has that joy that comes from abiding in Christ. It's that connection with him. It's that ability to see it's him who helps me in my life. I wouldn't have that joy. I wouldn't have that patience. I wouldn't have that love without him. But it's because of Christ, because of our conscious effort of being with him, exercising our spiritual disciplines, reading the Word of God, thinking about the truths of God, sharing the gospel. As we abide in him, as we carry out his will, we find that relationship there. In verse 5, it says, he who abides in me and I in him. Do you see what it is? It's not just like this, okay? It's not just like that. It's that interaction. And that's what we find in prayer. That's what he says to Joshua, to pray, meditate day and night. Remember? It's that interlocking of our souls where God in 1 Corinthians 2, he says he's given us his spirit so we can understand the things of God. His mind becomes in our mind. He shares those things. It's that interlocking, latching onto, that connecting, wherein his life fills us and causes that sense of growth and development. That's the abiding. The abiding is so special. But so is the bearing. I just skipped. The bearing, well, I'll just go on, and let me summarize the bearing while I have it up here. It's his purpose. So we have to understand that there's a greater purpose for all of us in what he's doing. It's God's will for you that you would bear much fruit, not just a little. We would be content with a little. I know that. Hey, you know, I'm a Christian. Things are going pretty well. But no, his will for you is that you bear much fruit. It's unique for you. He specially designed you. He gave you your own spiritual gifts. He's given you your own circumstances, your own what country you live in, what languages, how tall you are, what kind of ears you have. We just had my grandson, I'm with my grandson right now over the weekend, and, you know, little Isaiah, 6 weeks old, you know, and you're looking at features and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, who he looks like and things. But he's unique. He has his set of parents, but he's unique. And so are we as believers, with Christ's spirit in us, causing us to be able to live for him. And so that's why we can't compare ourselves with others. Instead, we're focused on, wow, what are you doing in my life? Help me to be filled with your spirit and carry out what your will is for me. And what his will for me is not necessarily for you, but focus on one's own life, what God is doing, and increase quality. So bearing fruit, let's go back to that question. Remember, I asked it earlier, right? What does it mean? Well, it's still kind of nebulous, is it? Well, I tried to already highlight some ways that bearing fruit. And so that fruit might be saying a kind word or someone coming up to you rather abruptly and then you responding kindly. That is bearing fruit. I want you to understand that. It's not just in the big things of life where, hey, I finally got up the courage to donate $1,000 to church. Wow. You're thinking it's just money. No. God is looking in the very little things you do in your heart and why you do it. I was kind because God's been gracious to me. I remember when he forgave me of my sin. I know how tenderly he cares with me, despite my sin. That's why I'm filled with kindness. You want to see me what I was like before, unbeliever, when I was an unbeliever? No. But the difference is, when his spirit's in you, you become more like Christ. So we're abiding. We're united. God's word shaping us. We hold on during tough times. Abiding where he says, abide in me. It's that conscious, God, I don't know what happened over here in my life, but I'm going to pray. I want you to help me. Yeah. And we see that abiding, that intention of our heart through spiritual disciplines and general kinds of service, that we will bear fruit for him and live for his glory. I want to just mention about Jesus here. So if you know from chapter 13 to 17, it's called the Upper Room Discourse. At the end of chapter 13, 14, he leaves the table. They didn't have tables in that day, but they had Passover, and he left. And what was happening was Jesus was walking along, going to Gethsemane, up to Mount of Olives. This is the night he was just betrayed. He's walking along, and he sees, whoa, look at that grapevine. You know, and he starts talking about all the things we've been talking about. I'm the vine. You're the branches. My Father is the vine dresser. He prunes us. I have a very moved by this thought that on the way to the cross, Jesus saw himself as one that was going to be cut back so that he could bear many more branches and bear much more fruit. So on the one hand, he's trying to describe what happens to those that leave Christ, like Judas Iscariot, though with him for 3 years. But he's also trying to give the disciples an understanding why we enter crises. And crises doesn't mean God has messed up. It means God's doing something greater yet. And Jesus tried many different times to convince his disciples, I will raise from the dead. Believe it. They didn't believe it. Yeah. They couldn't look that far. They couldn't believe that far. Can you trust God with something hard you're going through in your life? This is where he's bringing us. Or maybe in the future, that's where he will bring us. Maybe. I really like this. I found a pot where we are, and it says, more blooms more often. Isn't that cool? That's a good way to summarize this passage. I was going to use it for my title of the sermon, but my wife said, no, don't use that. What does it mean? You know, but more blooms more often. And it is a sense of, hey, there's more coming. There's something greater there. And don't you like a pot with just one blossom? Or do you like it filled, right? Do you like a nice fruit bowl with one grape in there? Or just, luscious, a lot of fruit, a lot of grape. And this is what the Lord is doing in our lives. He's looking to help us to grow. So what does it all mean for us? That there's a pruning process. We might not like it. He does. He sees there's something greater there. And as our sovereign God, he's working in our life. He's there to help us to bear fruit, to grow. Doesn't matter if you think you've grown enough. I've been there. You don't want change, but yep, he brings it. But even if you bear fruit, it's not enough. I know you've done some whole lot for the Lord. Don't think you've done everything. He works with you right to the end, right to the end. And that's his grand purposes for our life, for your life. So if you think about it as a vineyard, that's what the Lord's looking every day. He's walking through the vineyard, looking for the branches. Are you bearing fruit? Good, good. Maybe one day I'm going to prune you. Yeah, I could see more here. But maybe not. We'll wait, But he also cares for those not bearing fruit. It's his way of working in our life because he's seeking all the more Christ's fullness in us. And as us as individuals have more of Christ, then we as a church are filled with Christ's Spirit. And that's the whole picture, that we're his holy temple, filled with his Spirit, just as we read during the revival times in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God is powerfully working. So the branches are wholly dependent on him. It's not about us. It's not about positive thinking. No, it's about meeting with the Lord, trusting him for what he brings us through. He's pushing us for greater success, that all the more we might be convinced of his greater purpose, his wonderful purpose of working in our own lives. This is our great God. He's just so wonderful and glorious. Let me close in a word of prayer.